It's an honor to be here and especially to be able to say thank you in person and online for your partnership in the gospel with your mission, Multiply, MB Mission, MBMSI, depends on how long you've been around. We're over like 130 or something, so we've had a few different names because the times keep changing. If we could go to the next slide, I am really... Again, honored to be here. Just want to make sure, further to what Pastor Sherman just shared there, that we are with you and you are with us because we're in the same family of church ministry. So Multiply is the mission agency of the North American Mennonite Brethren Conferences. That's a lot of words. That's a lot of churches. So this is the United States and Canada together as one mission team. And Multiply is your mission extension. Again, like, I just want you to feel like this is us. I'm here to say thank you and glad to say hi. This is our family together. We have three strategies that we pursue around the world and encourage even here, as we will be this morning, local churches, about helping disciples to multiply. I mean, the name Multiply is the heart of God, hey? Like, go forth and, this is the call of God, this is the assignment of God. Go forth and multiply. So we also extend this through the sending out of missionaries to cross cultures, go to different places, especially unreached places. That's a priority for mission agencies like ours. And then, of course, where we can, we partner with national leaders. So this is the three strategies that we're pursuing around the world. And again, like I said, that directly connect with life here in Vancouver. So if we go to the next slide, we are just a quick vignette there. We're working, wait, did I say we? You are working with us, extending the gospel at the moment around 70 nations. So just, you know, be encouraged. The Lord has lots of things on the go. And I gotta, like Pastor Sherman said, there are so many stories, and just be encouraged. The Lord is working actively. So today, if we go to the next slide, we are talking about this theme of sending. So here's where I'm in a little bit of a tight spot, because I'm from what we call a sending agency. So in other words, if you want to go somewhere, you would come to me, to us, and we would help to send you. And that is true. That is one of the main things that we do, to help find, train, and send missionaries. And we exist because there's this historic conviction from the Mennonite Brethren Conferences to have a mission. I mean, this is one of the first things that happened as the conferences were developed, is we need to have a mission. Because why? Because people are lost and need to know Christ. So this is a long-standing priority, but we want to be really clear that it's the local church that sends its people across the street and to the ends of the earth. And this happens because God is the one who sends out his people into his mission field. So I just want to be really clear and really careful to say, yeah, we are a sending agency, but don't like outsource to us like that's all, like that's our job and you aren't involved or something. Like, no, this is us together. And I really appreciate how Pastor Sherman last Sunday emphasized that followers of Jesus are people who proclaim the gospel of Christ, representing God to the world through our words, actions, and character, unquote. And I do recommend, if you haven't seen the sermons online, like, it's very clear. You can, there's video, PowerPoints. I don't miss anything. The same God who calls people to be reconciled to him and through Jesus is the one who then sends people out to invite people to also be reconciled to him. This is the heart of God, and this is the call of God to go. So today we want to take a fresh look at this whole idea of what it means to be sent, to be sending, people who send. What does that actually mean for you and for me today, that we would live and be well sent on mission? So we want to springboard off of the message from last Sunday where Pastor Sherman brought us from Isaiah 52, specifically talking about the beautiful feet of people who bring the good news. Remember that if you were here, that slide of the not so beautiful looking feet on, you know, on appearance, but what those feet bring is the good news. So from Romans chapter 10 and 13 to 15, which was just so well read, this is, again, Isaiah 52, repeat, reprise, and here we are in Romans. Paul talks about what does it mean to have beautiful feet to proclaim the good news. He does a common sense thing, which is to begin with the end in mind. And in this text, he plainly states that the desired outcome for all people is salvation. In chapter 10, verse 1, to be really plain, Paul says, "My heart's desire and my prayer for God for them is for their salvation." That's how chapter 10 starts, like plaintive appeal to God that people would be saved. But it doesn't just happen. People are involved in the process by God's design. So Paul reverse engineers then the way that this would come to be. How can they call on him in whom they've not believed? And then how can they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach? How can someone preach unless they're sent? Here we are back on our theme word of the day, sent, being sent. Now, quickly aside, I just want to be really careful that we don't just think of preaching as something that only professional pastors do, especially on Sunday morning, especially from a nice pulpit like this. Yes, this, we pray, includes preaching, but this is the term proclamation. Proclamation is something that everyone can participate in as they share the good news within their circle of influence. It's something that we're all called to do, not just on a Sunday morning from the stage. So again, words matter. When you hear preaching in this text here, proclamation, the sharing of the good news. Now, to me and from my experience, I was a pastor for 17 years in Kitsilano, just down the street. I learned we need to pay close attention to the difference between someone leaving and someone being sent. Someone leaving, well, they just go. Someone being sent, now that is something substantial. It reminds me when I was discerning moving to Vancouver, I'd found Regent College for master's degree, specifically around certain program that Regent was specializing in at that time. I'm from the Toronto area, and I thought I would just do what anyone else does, is I'm just going to move to Vancouver to go to this school. So I was just going to leave. And I was part of a fine church, and someone interrupted me and said, I mean, we don't disagree that that's not a good idea, but could you allow us to pray with you about, could we send you? And I thought, well, that's what a great idea. Rather than me just leaving, I could be sent. So we had a time of prayer together. They asked me questions. They said, okay, well, this is a very trusted, mature group of people. They said, okay, so come back, let's all pray, and next week we'll share, what do we all hear the Holy Spirit say? I'm like, okay, that sounds, you know, like a good idea. I, too, want to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to confirm my plan, right? It's a good plan. Must be a good plan. Has Vancouver in it. Has Regent College in it. Well, we came back the next week, and guess what? Everyone around the whole circle, these are mature believers who I really trust, they all said, what an excellent idea, but the timing just doesn't seem right. So I had a choice. I could just leave, or I could, again, I didn't give my volition to the, you know, I still need to decide, but I thought, oh, for once in my life, I'm going to actually listen to my brothers and sisters who actually I know care for me, because I figured within a month or two I'd be on my way anyway, because it's a matter of timing. Well, 1 or 2 months, 1 or 2 years, 3 years later, interesting, hey? Well, the Lord had other things for me to do, and in fact, during those 3 years, I think that was one of the most profound developmental discipleship seasons of my whole life, where, and that's a whole, I'll tell you the whole story if you want to hear it another time, but a very different person then presented himself to the church to say, what is it about Vancouver and Regent College? I'm feeling stirred, and I'm like, would you guys pray for me? So they did, and then we came back together, and they're like, yeah, you should go, go. And I'll never forget this one fellow who had moved from the Maritimes to Ontario, as he said, you know, when I came, I had a single, I didn't have many prospects, but the Lord has blessed me, but I moved from the Maritimes to Ontario I had $100. And he shook my hand. Have you ever had that handshake with the, enclosure inside? And inside was a $100 bill, not the same $100 he brought from the Maritimes, but you get the point, right? He's like, I want to send you. I thought, this is really meaningful. I want to send you with $100 that I had when I came here. And then another guy said, okay, I'm going to give you a cell phone when you get to Vancouver, just mail it back. And he's like, how old's your car? Well, not that new. Okay, I have an account in a garage. Bring your car in, whatever that needs to get done, charge it to my account. I'm like, I like this being sent thing. this feels like I'm not just leaving. And when I arrived here, I had that sense of I've got back people. I know people are praying for me. And what a coincidence. The Lord had me come at the right time as I got involved with the local church in Kitsilano. I talked to one of the elders one day, and I said, you know, I really meant to come 3 years ago. And he said, oh, that wouldn't have at all been the right time. You came right on time. I'm like, well, imagine that the Holy Spirit would speak to people and hold me back and give me the, you know, the humility, because I just wanted to leave. This is a big deal, this whole being sent. When someone is sent, they depart with the full endorsement of those sending them. Paul has brought us to this key word of being sent. And the good news about sharing the good news is that Jesus has not left us without clear instructions. He said to his disciples that they would be sent as he was sent, which is our second text in John 20, 21. Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, first things first, the context of this passage, again, reaches back to last week before you folks who were here took communion together at the Lord's table. Pastor Sherman reminded us of the upper room, and I just thought, isn't this so interesting that as Jesus presents himself to his disciples, the first time since his resurrection, where they're locked away in fear in the upper room, his first words are, peace be with you. They must have been beside themselves in this upper room after what just happened, because they don't yet understand. Peter denied him, Judas betrayed him, others ran for cover, and here they are. They're locked in the room. Jesus comes and says to them, peace be with you. My dear friends, is that not a good word for today? Did you check the news this morning or recently? Things are kind of turbulent. Jesus would say today to your heart, peace be with you. And as the Father sent me, I send you. Now, here's what I find particularly interesting. If we go to the next slide, is that Jesus had just said this to them as he prayed, in especially the Gospel of John, the upper room discourse, and then the prayer, John 17. What did Jesus pray just before his passion, just before they left the upper room? What did Jesus pray to the Father? As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. They would have heard this. You follow this? They would have heard this just before the Passion. And now Jesus says, peace to you, as he comes through the locked door, which is pretty cool. And what does he say again? As I've been sent, I send you. So I'm moved by the commentator who considers this dynamic outcome to be this, with this statement, Jesus declares that the disciples, that the church as a whole, are called to participate in the mission of God in a manner similar to the Son. He goes on to add, although the church is sent just as the Son was sent, the mission of the church is defined by the Son who sent them, from whom the nature and direction of its mission are derived. Did you catch this? The nature, this is the basic character, quality of something, and the direction, the pathway forward of the mission of the church are derived. They arise from the person of Christ. So we don't just sort of imitate how Jesus was sent, we participate in this sending. This is actually like really important. This calling, this being sent, is participating in the mission of Christ. The mission of God is not a task to accomplish, a job to be done merely. This is a relational mission. It's always personal. Jesus calls people by name. He still does call people by name. And how is this mission possible? Well, Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Spirit. The Spirit is the empowering for the mission of God. So remember, we don't just leave and go out on our own with our strength to do this work. No, we are sent. And we are sent with the Holy Spirit for the empowering for the mission. So with all this in view, how then was Jesus sent? Well, it's fascinating that by chapter 20 in John, and you can go and check for yourself here, Jesus has made more than 20 references to being sent in the Gospel of John up till now. Either sent by my Father who sent me, he who sent me, the one who sent me, etc., etc. So this is quite a theme coming to this important point of then Jesus sending out his disciples. Jesus was sent by the Father. Now, there's a couple different ways to look at this. One is with continuity and one is with discontinuity. So with continuity, how are we also sent as disciples are sent? And discontinuity, how is Jesus uniquely sent? Well, the first thing we should do is start with the second point, because Jesus was uniquely sent. So obviously Jesus was the very Son of God, and as John 3:16 famously reminds us, this is a one-time gift for all. Jesus was sent as the only begotten Son, full stop. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God sent his Son generously, compassionately, but decisively. It is finished, my friends. So this is the work that Jesus accomplished that was his. So that's the discontinuity, but the continuity is abundant. Biblical scholar Craig Keener says that John's gospel presents Jesus as a model for mission and demonstrates that those he sends come to participate in that mission. This is not a word just for the so-called full-time Christian workers, pastors, missionaries. This is a word to the whole church family. I like the way that Christopher J.H. Wright emphasizes that the whole Trinity is involved in the sending for mission. I love that first song we got, the whole Trinity in the whole first song. You sang it. Sending, in fact, is an activity of all three persons of the Trinity. There's a missional dynamic within God himself in relation to the world, and from what we have seen in the Old Testament, it primarily relates to salvation and deliverance, unquote. This is our call. We too are sent out to be what? Obedient to the call of God, dependent on him, as he gives us the provision and empowering necessary to do the work of the mission. Jesus knew his Father's voice. We are also to know the voice of Jesus who sends us out, so that we know who we are in Christ as we go about this business of mission. So I suggest here today that there's at least two ways that we can group how Jesus was sent. It's summer, it's a long weekend, we're going to have a two-point sermon, not a three. How's that for keeping it close? Jesus was sent first with peace. Second, Jesus was sent with authority in order to seek and to save the lost. So first of all, Jesus was sent out with peace. We are to practice peace, being people of peace. For Jesus, peace is the extraordinary term shalom. This was mentioned last week. This is the idea of being complete, fullness of blessing, so much more than just the absence of conflict. It's the filling. For Jesus, he promised to bring peace of a different kind. In John 14, 27, again, we're in John's gospel. He says, peace I leave with you. We're in the upper room discourse again. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. How does the world give peace? Have you ever actually sat down to think, what's the difference of my peace I give you and the peace of the world? Because Jesus says these are not the same. Well, this one time I was renting a car, and the very helpful clerk said, so Mr. Lang, who I thought that's my dad, but Mr. Lang, you could choose the peace of mind package. I'm like, right on, I can finally have peace of mind. It just costs a lot more per day. But like I said, you just could, no matter what happens, you could just walk away. I'm like, wow, what a deal, but you gotta pay. This is the peace the world offers. It's a transaction, my friends. The gift of Jesus is free. It's actually a gift because he paid it all. It's a gift of unspeakable value. So I want to pause and ask you today, do you know this Jesus? I'm going to preach a little bit. Do you know this Jesus? Because he came. I like that. Yes. This is good. He came and gave his life for you. And then upon being resurrected so incredibly, he gave his spirit for you to know him and to know his peace. Please do not leave here today without talking to one of us about what does this mean? I need to know the Savior. I need to have this peace. So my friends, we're called to be both peace bringers and peace makers. Especially as you follow yourself around thinking of what are you posting online? Like, are you actually bringing peace? Or are you stirring it up? Now, it's okay to have an opinion and it's okay to have, all that stuff, but we're called to bring peace. We're called to bring people to Christ and to sow the gospel of peace. Secondly, and importantly, Jesus then sends us out with his authority in order to seek and save the lost. This is being sent. This is being an ambassador. This is like you are sent. Like, I stand today under the word of God, under the authority of Christ. That's just awesome. And so do you, if you follow Jesus. You have his authority as you step out in his name. Please let this sink deeply into your heart. You are sent. You are his representative with his spirit empowered. And there's an urgency around this calling. Lost means perishing, not just being misplaced. Oftentimes, in our use of English, we get this wrong. Like we think, where's my phone? Anyone seen my phone? Oh, there it is. It's on the pew right there. Oh. lost in our language often means misplaced. Lost in the Gospels means perishing. When the prodigal son comes to his senses, he says what? I am not misplaced. I'm perishing. This is not working. I need to go home. This is the urgency of the mission of God. People who do not know Christ are in harm's way. They are perishing. So we follow this call into God's mission field with the authority of Jesus, with this understanding of actual urgency, with both our attitude and our way of life. Attitude is our posture. We are outward-facing people. We are the ones who will go. We are the ones who will serve. We are not primarily self-protective people. And the church is to be an outward-facing place that welcomes everyone in. So it's an attitude, a posture, but it's also a way of life, because we are what? We are compelled by love. As I like to say as often as I can, you can't talk about the Great Commission without the Great Commandment. Like, these things actually need to be together. Like, why do we go out to the ends of the earth, to the every tongue, every tribe, every nation? Why do we do this? Because of the love of God that has been given to us, and that we don't hide it under the bushel. Like, we don't put the light under the bush. We don't put the love in our safety deposit box. I'm safe. It's safe. No, this is for sharing. We are sent to bring God's love. Our obedience, like Jesus's, we're sent out on mission to do the will and the work of the Father. Because of love, we will desire to be in step with the Lord, following his will to do his work. This is how we live. This is a truly wonderful life. Every day is interesting. Every day has opportunity to meet new friends, to share your faith. And it's not a program. It's not a box to check. It's not something we do when we're on duty. This, again, is how we are to live. I would also have to say, the more you want to explore this, you got to know it's also inconvenient. Because being interrupted with these opportunities to serve means that you might have to put on pause something else you're doing to actually care for someone. And if you're following the Lord, following the Spirit, and watching what Jesus did, Jesus is often interrupted on his way to somewhere. In fact, some of the great stories are on the way to somewhere. So it's just a little bit of a, the cost of obedience includes being inconvenienced. Is that not worth it? To be able to share your faith with someone who has none. Friends, as we close this morning, we want to celebrate the fact that Jesus sends out his disciples as he was sent, with peace and with authority. So what does that look like today, here, and now? Well, rather than pulling out a whiteboard and starting to brainstorm all the ways we can live on mission today, I just have to ask, what are you already doing? Where are you already going? I'm pretty sure nobody lives in the building. Is that true? You might be here often with various things, but everyone is going somewhere today. Yes? Is that true? So while you're going, are you paying attention to what God is doing around you? I had this experience where I just was shocked. I was at a conference with a friend of mine one time, and I said to him, is it just me, or is the overhead just a little bit off? And he said, well, I don't know, why don't you try my glasses? So I put them on, just an entry-level prescription. So I put them on, and I was like, what? Because I've never needed glasses my whole life. Even now, all you wonderful people look wonderful because you're just extra wonderful. You're just a little bit out of focus. You look extra good today, I just say it. But when I put on the glasses, I was like, what? Oh my goodness, like now I can see more clearly. Now, it's kind of funny. I got back to our church building. It wasn't long after. I had my glasses when necessary, and mostly just for driving, especially at night. Someone came up to me and said, "Is it just me or is the overhead just a little?" And I said, "Why don't you try my glasses?" So I don't know how many iterations of this passing the glasses has gone on, but it's just better when you can see more clearly. So this would be my question to you is, as you're going, how's your vision? How's your spiritual vision? Are you actually looking to see what opportunities God is giving you? Or are you just so determined to get where you're going that you're missing those opportunities? We want to not miss those invitations, hey? And I tell you, that's where the joy is. The best stories I could tell are like when it got, I didn't even know we were going to go there. Or on the way, it's like, wow, this is where the joy is. God is also bringing people to be found. This is part of our call to hospitality as a church, to welcome in people who are new to the neighborhood, new to the country, exploring faith. Welcome people in. Also, God is sending people out to help people be found. So I was just in Edmonton this week meeting some pastors, and I met a dear brother who came to Canada from Africa. He told me the most astonishing story. This is in 2000, he and six others were in an all-night prayer meeting. That's a real prayer meeting, all night long. And someone had a word, this is in Rwanda, someone had a word that God, I wrote it down, God is sending us to other nations. Here they are in a refugee camp. Someone has a word in the all-night prayer meeting. God is sending us to other nations. We need to say farewell and we need to learn another language. That was that in the prayer. That's like, so everyone's like, huh, interesting. Now they're in a refugee camp, but still, this dear brother who I met, he said, "Greg, I had no dream to come to Canada. This was not my plan." And he was sponsored and with his family, and they're here and they're thriving. But when he got here, what did he realize? I've been sent on mission to Edmonton. I'm like, well, this. I said to him, I'm going to tell your story this Sunday back in Vancouver, because this is so cool how God called, like again, all-night prayer meeting, they're just enjoying the Lord, praying, someone has a word, we're going to be sent to the nations. We need to learn another language. Huh. And he's part of the harvest team in Edmonton. Praise God. Now, you may not be able to go around the world. In fact, we may not be able to send you to some places because of political situations, but each of us needs to be willing and obedient to at least go across the street, hey? Willing to be interrupted on the way as God would bring people to be found. I had the privilege of being in Lithuania and meeting a couple who are first-generation believers who are church planters. Like, yes, you heard that right. First-generation believers who are church planters. Like, they're planting the gospel. And when I heard the testimony of the wife of the couple, she was a university student, and someone shared the gospel with her. Now, again, Lithuania, post-Soviet, somewhat, you know, kind of finding its way in the new world. Definitely finding its way. But a lot of spiritual issues happening. And as she told her testimony, my friend, she was at first overjoyed at the gospel, and then she was outraged. And she said, when she told her testimony, and I wrote this down, she said, "How is it possible that no one ever shared this with me before? This is the good news that I always wanted to hear, and no one ever told me." I wrote that down. I'm like, wow. You know, maybe your friends are more interested than you think they are. Maybe your family members are more needy or open than you think they are. Don't withhold the seed, my friends. Be generous, sharing the seed. So as we closed last week, Pastor Sherman opened by asking, when's the last time you received good news? My dear friends, we want to close by turning that around to ask you, when's the last time that you shared the good news? So dear Lord, as we stand under these words of Jesus from the Gospel of John and the instruction of Paul from Romans, we pray now, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts to apply this personally, even that you would give us a name, a face, someone either that we're already in touch with or someone from the past who you would move us to start praying for, that we'd write it down, that we would start to anticipate how we could have an opportunity to share the good news, that Jesus would be lifted up and that even one more person, even today, would come to follow Christ and heaven would rejoice and there would be great joy here on earth as well. In Jesus' name, amen.